Ladies and gentlemen, this is the first podcast that we're actually recording in the year 2020.
Correct.
We always tell you that sports is the gift that keeps on giving, and today, today was like Christmas because so many things are happening today, and so many we can't even freaking talk about in one show.
Yep, we're going to have to pick and choose what I've conveniently dubbed the busy show.
Yes. So first, what happened was last year we talked about how the Houston Astros got accused of cheating. So apparently that investigation is wrapped up and the commissioner has dropped the hammer.
At least the hammer in like current standards of a hammer. Oh, yeah.
The Houston Astros GM and manager have been... Did they get fired or did they just
get suspended? Yes, so they've gotten fired. They got suspended for a year each. And then they were subsequently fired, which I feel like is a bit much. Like, and not like literally a bit much, but like, dang, they do all this for the team. They cheat for the team. And then the team's not like, hey, we'll live out your suspension. Nope, we're going to just fire you.
I think that any other team, they probably wouldn't have fired him. They would have just took the suspension. But with all the crap that the Astros organization was already going on, from the cheating, then...
from the woman in the locker room with the just terrible commentary by there.
It's like the Astros are trying to get rid of any bad mojo.
Yup. They just need to keep going. They lost draft picks. They lost $5 million.
Which, really, $5 million to the owner, that's probably like, you know, yeah, it's probably like a tip at an expensive restaurant.
Yes, but the thing about it is that is the biggest fine that the league is allowed to have on teams. I feel like the leagues need to like update their fine structure because these franchises are worth hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, and that goes for everybody across the league.
The Red Sox were also under investigation
for the 2018 championship. So basically the Dodgers and Dodger fans have the most to be mad about. I wonder if we're going to hear Magic Johnson's statement. And two, did you see the Dodgers statement?
No. They should have been like, y'all need to just go ahead and give us both of those World Series trophies. Yeah, because Alex Cora, I guess he saw the writing on the wall because they agreed to mutually part ways instead of him finding out his fate.
It's hilarious that he's like getting out, so maybe the Red Sox won't get punished. I don't know. Like,
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's going to make a difference. They are probably still going to get...
Also, like, doesn't it say that he's just guilty of, like, implementing the same thing?
Yes.
For the Red Sox?
For those who don't know, Alex Cora was a assistant coach for the Astros before he became the manager of...
Right. And subsequently, during his first season, won a World Series. Yeah. So the Dodgers were the losing team in both 17 and 18 to the Astros and the Red Sox for the World Series. And the Dodgers statement goes as follows. All clubs have been asked by Major League Baseball not to comment on today's punishment of the Houston Astros, as it's inappropriate to comment on discipline imposed on another club. The Dodgers have also been asked not to comment on any wrongdoing during the 2017 World Series and will have no further comment at this time. That is their statement, which I feel like is kind of amazing, but also like, this is terrible.
I can only imagine what type of unwritten rules and unwritten punishments in the game of baseball that they're going to do on the side when they play those teams next year.
Oh, it's going to be a bloodbath. And didn't, like, so I was in something, but, like, didn't, like, I mean, the Dodgers are, like, known as, like, the biggest choke artists because of what is it, Verlander and
Clayton Kershaw.
Clayton Kershaw and Yu Darvish. Like that's who they had both of those years. It's real easy to pass the test when you have the answers. Like
yes.
you're not like from a pitching perspective. Because like Clayton Kershaw, he was having batting, like people were hitting against him that doesn't seem like is even possible under normal circumstances. Everybody just assumed he was choking. Yeah. Maybe he wasn't.
I mean, he won Cy Young, I believe, both years.
Yes, like I feel like Clayton Kershaw specifically has the room to be the most mad because I think we all just thought of him as a choke artist.
In other news, this is big news, big major news, because once again, we talked about this last year, at the end of last year, which happened to be a month ago, about how the WNBA, some of its players were not being treated fairly, so if you will.
Yeah, so we've talked about the WNBA a bunch and about their collective bargaining agreement and how unfair it was and the how they just weren't treated like they were professionals. They were definitely, in some ways, it seemed like the college teams might have had better resources than these pro teams did. But the WNBA has agreed, and its players have agreed to a new collective bargaining agreement. And this one, I think, it's a really impressive agreement, and I think it is definitely a group of people that got together and said, we know this is wrong, and we need to make some decisions on how we're going to go forward as partners. And I think it also proves that like the players weren't asking for NBA player money. They really weren't, and they were just asking for a bigger share of the pot and a more like equitable fair share of the pot. So anyways, player salary and compensation, they get a 30% increase to the salary cap. The maximum player salary goes from $117,000 to $215,000. And there's additional compensation for select players up to $300,000. All this will result in the average player making, you know, six figures or their total compensation being at six figures, which is a huge like move for them. Especially in terms of like living in some of these like major metropolitan areas, like the New Yorks and the DCs and things like that, where it's just cost an arm and a leg to live.
Yeah. They're also talking about, possibly splitting the revenue 50-50.
Oh, okay. The NFL doesn't even have that anymore. They worked out deals for working moms, which is awesome. Players will receive their full salary while on maternity leave. They will get an annual child care stipend. Can I get one of those? That would be nice. And they also have progressive family planning benefits up to $60,000 for reimbursement. This includes adoption, surrogacy, and then crypto preservation and fertility drugs, which is awesome, especially since players, you know, need those benefits. And there might be times where they put off family planning for their career. From a player experience standpoint, they get individual hotel rooms for every player. Like, okay, that is crazy. I work for a normal company and I'm not ever asked to share a hotel room with a colleague because it's creepy. Like, a mandatory extra leg room flights on or seats on flights. And also they have more flexibility to get a charter when necessary. That's awesome. And then they're also going to have more off-season job opportunities with league partners, so they're trying to get the players to stay in the U.S. and continue to promote the league throughout the offseason instead of them going to play overseas, which also, you know,
that'll probably be more beneficial for like the non-star players. I still think the star players are probably going to go overseas because they're going to be making bank.
Having the opportunity to make a better, like a closer to a, like a decent living and stay in the U.S., there's definitely like, yeah, you can't really put a price on like peace of mind or being able to like be with your family, you know what I mean, your friends, and like be able to live your life. There is something to be said about that. I'm not saying that I think, I just think that players having the option, like a real option, you might see more players stay at home than you think. And then they also have health and well-being, so they have mental health resources, a national nutrition council to help with athlete performance, and then also, like, I guess, augmented and holistic domestic violence programs that includes education and counseling. Because whether we want to realize it or not, women, like, even women in same-sex relationships, they still deal with domestic violence issues. Unfortunately, that is a problem that knows no color, no race, or no gender. So it's just a real, I feel like what I appreciate about this is that it seems like it's super comprehensive in terms of, like, really taking care of the whole person, the whole player, not just like, it's not just like, here's a bunch of money and, you know, that'll fix everything. It seems like they really kind of tied in kind of how their travel would be and the resources and kind of, you know, what they might want to do from family planning standpoint to their health and well-being. I really appreciate the fact that it feels very holistic in nature, as opposed to just being like, hey, here's one thing.
Look at my WNBA blazing trails. The anti-SEC in me wanted Clemson to win, but the Florida State in me wanted Clemson to lose the college football playoff national championship.
See, I typically want Clemson to win when they're playing Alabama, because I really, Alabama annoys me. This LSU team was actually a lot of fun. So I actually kind of, I wanted them to win because they were a fun team. They weren't, they didn't take themselves too seriously. They were engaging. Ed Orgeron is hilarious and his voice is something else to listen to, but there's like an infectious energy about him. Like, you truly believe that he loves being at LSU and this is where he wants to be. Like, mm-hmm. And that is super rare, I think, in college sports from a coaching perspective.
But yeah, LSU beat Clemson in the national championship the other night. This makes their third national championship that they've won in their home, basically, in Louisiana. It's ridiculous that exists. They really were the best team in college football this year. There's no doubt about it from beginning to end.
Yeah, I think that there was some conversation about, like, was Clemson? But it's like, no, they really weren't. Like, Clemson, this Clemson team is not as strong as their previous years of Clemson teams have been. This was definitely Clemson's, like, more of, like, reloading year, I think. And much more so than people, I think, were willing to acknowledge, just because they weren't really challenged a ton. Because the ACC was all sorts of down this year. Am I the only one that's not incredibly impressed by Trevor Lawrence? Like, I'm impressed on one level, but I feel like I don't see anything special about him. Maybe that's what it is. Like, impressed, but, like, there's nothing mesmerizing about watching him play to me, other than the hair.
I mean, he's athletic. He has some wheels. I honestly think, like, they looked average last night because LSU's defense is freaking amazing. Those cornerbacks are going to make a lot of money in the professional ranks. Stingley is a true freshman. He's going to be a monster. LSU's receiving core is going to make a lot of money at the next level. More on that later. But and they're underclassmen. They still got years of eligibility left.
If LSU can find a quarterback, they might be able to repeat.
For real.
But considering the fact that LSU hasn't found quarterbacks in the last 20 years, I don't know that I think that's as much of a possibility as we might think.
And Clemson, bless their heart, they threw everything they had.
Everything. I think the most interesting, like, quote on Twitter was, it's got to be demoralizing as, like, a defensive coordinator that you throw everything you have at them and then you just realize that, like, that doesn't work either.
I mean, I think everybody thought that it was going to be a shootout, which, I mean, the first half it kind of was just... LSU made one more stop than Clemson did. But yes. I don't know. Once LSU got going in, like, the second quarter, there was really no looking back.
It was kind of like done.
Yeah. It was just like,
oh, Thanks for coming, Clemson. We appreciate it. We need somebody to play. But the reality is that I fundamentally believe it doesn't matter who they would have played this year. LSU was going to win championship.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it was just their year.
That's why I don't have any problem with them winning. That's why the no SEC, I was like, you know, I don't care. I enjoy watching them play. But now the question is, do all the other 13 SEC teams get a trophy?
Claim this championship? Yeah, I know, right?
Apparently that's what happens every time an SEC team wins a championship. They feel like, oh, we are naming that too, don't we? Just...
Although I will say this, I do appreciate from like a marketing perspective how the SEC is just like embraced the fact that like they've embraced that in their marketing that like we are better together and like we root for our teams, but we really root for the SEC. Like they've embraced that. And that is kind of crazy.
Cause like we said before, you don't hear us pouting at Clemson loss because they represent the ACC. You can blow that crap out your behind. Nah, we all right.
I mean, also, like, I feel like there are other ACC teams I could be, like, excited for, I guess, or, like, maybe happy for. Dabo is so annoying as a coach. Like, I wish he would stop talking.
he's annoying.
He just doesn't... He does not inspire me to want to be like, yay, Clemson.
Yeah.
None of it. Like, he's just stopped talking.
There's no other ACC team that I would feel comfortable rooting for. Because you darn sure ain't going to get me to root for Miami to win anything.
I mean, like, I can actually root for Miami because, I mean, Miami, like, in a national championship scenario. Like, I remember being pissed that Miami lost to Ohio State. I can get you can get me root for Miami. Like I said, you can get me root for probably any other ACC team and want the ACC team to win over another conference team, especially the SEC. But Clemson, it's not even Clemson, it's Dabo. Like, I just want him to stop talking.
If anything, that football rules have taught us this year, I feel like we've talked ad nauseum about how football. In general, does not really care about player safety, especially when it comes to head collisions. And Clemson's best linebacker got ejected from the game last night for a targeting rule, which, I mean, if you recall, one of Ohio State's best defensive players got called for targeting against Trevor Lawrence in the semifinal game, which probably turned out to be a turning point in that game. And just in general, the targeting rule, NCAA needs to take a long... No, they don't need... They need to take a short look at this and throw it out and come up with something different.
Like, the hubby was saying last night, he's like, maybe... Like, we were talking about maybe he's like a yellow card scenario where, like, the first time you do it... Because the thing about it is, here's the problem. It's too easy for a player to be aiming in one direction, but because... You know, they're still moving. Different things shift, people shift, body shift. So the rule is so weirdly constructed that you're not allowing for that. So maybe you have something where like a yellow card where you, the first time, it's just a penalty. You can make a 15-yard penalty, but you don't get, taken out the game until at least the second incident in the same game. I mean, shoot, you could even go so far as to like, give a certain number per season before you start. You know what I mean?
And we're talking about accidental. We're not talking about the, you know, on purpose. Like, right. Those still need to be like, okay, you definitely led with your head. You need to leave.
Right. And then you could also do, like, in basketball, you could do flagrant one, flagrant two. Like, you could do it. There are just things that you could do to make this not so ridiculous. And they just don't seem to want to do that because this rule is terrible. The penalty is terrible, and it does not allow for people to potentially just accidentally do it because, again, they're still in motion.
Especially Florida State. I can't even tell you how many Florida State did not benefit from the targeting rule at any point in the last 3 years that it's been in effect. Four or five, whatever. Well, even going back to when You remember we played Miami that 1 year and Nigel Bradham completely obliterated freaking Miami wide receiver, and they called him for targeting even though he was basically standing still and hit the receiver running across his body. And they said that he launched himself even though he was standing flat on his feet and hit the receiver and knocked him clean out, and they called targeting. I'd have to send you the link. That was the game that the ACC refs, it was one of their worst nights at the office, if you can even call it that, because they've had plenty. But it was like 2012, I think.
Has the targeting rule in its full version been around for that long? I feel like I thought it was newer than that.
No, the one with Nigel Bradham, that was before, because I remember we had the old numbers. It was before we won the championship. Because it was
right, but I didn't realize the targeting rule had been around that long.
Yeah,
I thought it was a newer rule.
No, it's been around for a hot minute. Yeah, so congrats to the LSU Tigers. When we come back after, well, what happens after the national championship game, including a former LSU wide receiver playing Mr. Monopoly on the sidelines. Odell Beckham Jr. was giving out legit $100 bills to LSU wide receivers after the game last night.
Allegedly giving out legit $100 bills. Because the story is, because everybody knows it's an NCAA violation on some level. You can't really give, you know, fistful of money to players. Because, again, you can't pay the players for anything. Yeah. But he's doing it on the field. And it is all over social media. Because, of course, he's Odell Beckham.
A couple things about this that I know is allegedly, but they can kiss my behind with that alleged business. Number one, I know what real $100 bills look like. And those were real $100 bills. There's nothing fake about them. You could see the color change that the new $100 bills have.
But they actually have, like, really good fake ones because my kid and I were walking in D.C. one day, and there was this $100 bill that we both thought it was real, like, on the ground. Not on the ground. It was on a planter until, like, you picked it up. But, like, you had to look really closely for it. But it was the realest fake $100 bill I've ever seen.
That may be true. However, number two, more importantly, do you think that Odell Beckham Jr. is going to just walk around with fake money in his? I highly doubt it.
No, I don't. And that part I fully agree with. Like, I don't believe that at all.
You could have did this in the locker room. Who, like you said earlier, why are you putting this on social media? Why are you videotaping this? I mean, I know we're in an era where everything is.
And I mean, the video, like on Bleacher Report and stuff like that, it is like taped. Like, the person knew what they were taping. Like, it was not like, oh my God, I caught this. It was literally it is a high def, high quality, like, video, camera up in the air, angled correctly to see what's happening. Almost looks like they parted the seas. Like, it was a half circle, and he was going above it. You know what I mean? Like, there weren't people all around. Like open space. I mean, it was such a, like, it looks like it was done on purpose. Like, that he caught the video.
That's crazy.
I mean, this is one of those moments where the NCAA should just leave it alone, to be perfectly honest with you. This is not something they should be trying to investigate, but, you know.
By the time we record the next podcast, there's going to be an article saying the NCAA is investigating Odell Beckham, giving them wads of money. Like, yeah. Odell Beckham reminds me of my grandma when I went to church with her, giving me money that I didn't have to go put in the offering plate. Yeah. So we talked about all the LSU players that are going to be returning to school next year, one of which is not Joe Burrow. He seems destined to be a Cincinnati Bengal.
The number one picks. Yes. And it's so funny. Multiple times I've had conversations with my husband about this and about how, like, it sucks that Joe Burrow is going to go to the worst team possible. Like, you just think about it, like, whether he has a shot at being good or not, who the heck knows? But, like, it's not going to help that he's going to Cincinnati.
It was funny because there was people, like, tweeting pictures of customized Joe Burrow Cincinnati Bengals jerseys, like, a month ago.
I mean, everybody has kind of been saying this, and so forever. He beat Alabama. People have been saying that he could be the number one pick. I just think it's hilarious that he is older than Lamar Jackson. That's the only part I think it's hilarious. Like, he is older than Lamar Jackson because they were in the same recruiting class. But Lamar Jackson just finished his second season in the NFL, and Joe Burrow hasn't even finished college
And if
yet.
He plays for – and if Burrow gets drafted by the Bengals, they're going to play twice a year.
That's hilarious because they went to, like – all the Elite 11 camps and stuff, or recruiting camps together, because they were in the same recruiting class. So they entered college at the same time.
Burrow has an interesting story. Like, the man, he got beat out for the job at Ohio State. He was with JT Barrett. JT Barrett, well, graduated, and he thought that he was going to get the starting nod, but then that's when Dwayne Haskins came in and took the job.
And my thing is, like, I don't think I was hyperly impressed with, like, if you guys had this, I don't understand that Dwayne Haskins took that job.
I mean, Joe Burrow had a very average year last year. LSU's offense last year was not LSU's offense this year, and that had to do with...
all the difference. But, like, but Ohio State always has, like, a high octane.
This is also true.
So I don't understand how this version of Joe Burrow's never showed at... I mean, something can be said about, like, age and growth, and maybe it was that, like, he got to be on the field versus, like, just practicing and, like, having to win the job on the practice field, and maybe that was something to be said about it. But I just kind of feel like it's weird to me, like, after seeing this, that he couldn't have won the Ohio State job.
And all of a sudden you have freaking LSU changing their entire offense, and they bring in Joe Brady, who was last year running the Saints offense.
He wasn't running the Saints offense. He was offensive coordinator or something like that, because he was only a wide receivers coach at LSU, and he is going to be the youngest offensive coordinator in the NFL when he goes to the Panthers, because he's only 30.
Yep.
So he's a baby.
And if the Panthers do well, he's probably going to be a head coach in the next year.
Yeah.
As for Clemson, I mean, well, Trevor Lawrence will be back. He has to be back, because
old enough.
Whether he plays or not is going to be an interesting discussion over the next 6-7 months.
I don't think he won't play, because I feel like there are definitely players that would happen. I don't think that's happening at Clemson. I think, again, Dabo's annoying, and Dabo thinks that the college game is the best thing since sliced bread, and that players shouldn't get paid. So,
they have the number one ranked recruiting class right now. It's freaking ridiculous. They have the number one player at, like, six positions.
Yeah. The bag man is busy.
For real. So could we say that Odell is the bag man for LSU? I mean, I don't... He was so acting like it the other night.
Yeah, he was. He's just doing it. Although the first rule of Bagman is nobody knows you're a Bagman. So he also broke the first rule. So.
But yeah, so as long as Trevor Lawrence is the quarterback of Clemson, like, I mean, the man, he hasn't lost since, what, JV?
Something like that. He hasn't lost since high school. So it's not as if he is accustomed to losing, so it's gonna be interesting to see, like, how he comes back from this. I think it's also gonna be interesting to see, because this was definitely Clemson's least, like, this team was not as talented as last year's team, and there were some distinct holes in the team, and for the first time Clemson's gonna lose a coach or two, which they have not had to experience.
Clemson's offense didn't look bad. It's just like LSU's defense made plays and made stops when they need.
Yeah.
So, what are we thinking for 2020? Florida State going to be back in the playoffs?
Florida State will be lucky to be in a bowl game next year.
My wonderful lady crush, she won her first tournament since popping out Olympia.
Yep, which is so crazy because I think when I saw the headline, I realized that I just assumed she had won another tournament. Like, I didn't realize that she hadn't won at all because she was just in so many like major like Grand Slam finals. I just assumed.
And really, those are the only tournaments that she played since giving birth. She hasn't played any I think she's only played like one or two regular tournaments since giving birth.
I mean, then if I think about how much stuff she's got going on, I understand how she hasn't played anything, won anything else. By the same token, like,
this has to be a good omen for
Australian.
All these grands. Oh, yeah. Australian Open in 2 weeks.
Right.
We just talked about last episode. She needed her to get these two Grand Slams and set this record so we don't have to talk about this no more.
Exactly. And she's had good luck at the Australian.
Yeah, she's won it, what?
Who the hell knows? Look, an absurd amount of time, including pregnant.
She's had good luck at all. The only tournament she hasn't had good luck at is the French Open, and she's still won that like two or three
times. Yeah, and the French Open, like, I mean, can you really expect a woman from Compton to be great on clay? Like, I don't know that there's a clay court in all of California. I mean, there probably is one, but, like, not really. Also, in the midst of all of this, the NFL's playoffs have started we're through the divisional rounds, and we are now in the conference championships. And
yep. Lamar's gone.
The Ravens fell apart hard.
Seattle almost came back again against Green Bay. Seattle fans think that the referee screwed them on that last third down conversion, but I'm like, y'all do know that the first down line that's on TV is
not real.
It's an estimate. It is not the actual first down line. And the actual first down arrow on the field was actually closer. Jimmy Graham got the first down. They shouldn't even let Aaron Rodgers convert to third and longs anyway, right, to be in that position.
That's so also accurate.
Don't just let it go. The NFL started out the divisional round with four black quarterbacks and only one remains. In the year of the black quarterback, only one remains. Yep.
Although I really hope the Chiefs can beat the Titans. I just can't do 2 weeks listening to people talk about Vrabel and his connection to Belichick, him being a former Patriot and blah, blah, and him going from player to head coach in like less than 10 years. I don't have time.
As a Jaguars fan, I refuse to think about anything that remotely resembles the Titans in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I'd rather look at, I mean, obviously, Patrick Mahomes is an adorable child. I mean, he's like 20. But he is adorable. I'd rather like everybody talk to me about Patrick Mahomes for a year, for 2 weeks straight, than the Titans. Because yeah, we're talking about the Patriots are no longer in the playoffs. We don't have to worry about the Patriots winning the Super Bowl, which is very nice. It also looks like Tom Brady's time as a Patriot might be coming to an end, which is crazy.
Yeah, they said he cleaned out his suite at the stadium.
Oh, wow. It's crazy because I feel like he should just retire. So you're 42. Go hang out with Giselle.
For real.
Like, I just don't know where he's going to go. Because here's the thing. Like, I get from a competitive standpoint, like, you want to go somewhere and you want to prove them wrong. The problem is that it's, like, literally not possible for you.
Yeah. It's like, dude, you're already the greatest quarterback ever.
And also, like, not only is that, but, like, you going to another team for the first time, a new organization, like, that just is set up for failure. I don't care if you're the greatest player of all times. Like, Michael Jordan was not Michael Jordan with the Wizards. Like, it just is what it is.
Nope.
Like, just retire and be done with it. I mean, I think he wants to prove that he can do it without Belichick, but sir, even if you do it this year, like, you didn't do it without Belichick. Like, you learned everything you ever know about football sitting at his feet. Everything. So just deal.
The NFC Championship, on the other hand, I feel like it's kind of a toss-up. I still don't think a lot of people trust San Francisco. even though they're the number one seed.
I agree with that. I think people don't feel like Jimmy Garoppolo is battle tested. There's something about that team that just feels off. I don't know what it is. But do we trust Aaron Rodgers, though? Really? I mean,
I trust Aaron Rodgers all the time because, you know, as Stephen A. says, Aaron Rodgers is a bad man. I mean, I think that what is probably going to make the difference is that San Francisco is healthier than Green Bay.
And honestly, at this point in the year, health matters almost more than
talent.
Anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, last thing before we hang up, we mentioned earlier that the sports world has gone crazy today. So, we just about to run down a bunch of stuff that happened today and just, you know.
The gift that keeps on giving, Antonio Brown.
Man, this dude.
I'm starting to fundamentally believe that this man has had some sort of mental break.
He has CTE.
Something, because it just is. Like, Mike Tomlin is good, but is he really this good? Like, is he so good that he managed to keep all of this, like, dealt with? Like, if he is, just give him Executive of the Year every year for the rest of his career. Because as soon as he got from up under Pittsburgh, like, he literally, like, lost his mind. I swear, I feel like he had some sort of mental break. I don't know what it is. I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. I'm not making an actual diagnosis. But, like, what possesses you to turn on Instagram Live when you are fighting with the mother of your children? Like,
he threw a bag of gummies that looked like male reproductive organs at her.
The fight within itself is ridiculous, but then the fact that you thought, hey, let me turn on the television, let me turn on my phone and go live on Instagram, and that would be a good idea. Like, I don't
understand. While I go on an egregiously profane laced tirade against not only cops, but with my own kids within earshot.
I mean, imagine what his kids have to deal with when the camera is not there, though. God. That's the real scary part. This fool. He doesn't want a job. Like, it's just official. He does not want a job. He is going to be the player who has no money and is bankrupt after making all this money because he just decides that he just does not want a job.
Let's see. What else happened? Antonio Gates, possibly the greatest tight end of all time. Yeah. Right there with Tony Gonzalez.
He's announced his retirement. Oh, granted, he did not play in 2019.
Nope.
And he's retiring the Charger.
Luke Kuechly is retiring.
That's one that felt a little bit shocking.
I wasn't shocked. That man has had like 8 concussions since he's been in the league.
I feel like not shocked like when I stopped and thought about it, but like the initial shock. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, it makes perfect sense. Like, don't play a sport that makes your brain get scrambled all the time.
I ain't gonna lie, he looked like he had a headache in the video. I'm just being real. And last but not least, yo, Penn State is really about to go down the tubes again.
Well, I don't know if that's accurate. I think Sonny might have a defensive opinion on this one a little bit.
Well, I guess the initial reports coming out of Happy Valley is that there's a huge lawsuit going against the school and head coach James Franklin because a former player was out here getting hazed sexually.
Hazing is terrible, but the player, like, saying I'm going to Sandusky you is not, I mean, that's just ridiculous because they're not minors, which is the start and end of why Sandusky is a terrible human being. Two players who are both dumb 20-year-olds does not equal Sandusky-ing anybody. But according to the lawsuit, James Franklin did not, like, deal with the situation. Penn State is saying that the police and Penn State both investigated the allegations and didn't decide to press charges.
The player also said that they, like, made or they ran drills and put him in positions in drills that he was going to fail as, like, revenge against, like, trying to, I guess, tell on his teammates. I don't know.
But, like, that stuff you can't really prove. Like, you can't prove that they knew you were going to fail. They could guess, but it's also not, I guess, I mean, this is not a criminal case, but it's not, I mean, technically with these college players, which is even more unfortunate, they don't get paid, is that you're basically an at-will employee, even though you're not an employee. Like, you play in a year-to-year contract, and your entire livelihood is going to be based on whether or not the coach likes you. So, or at least doesn't not like you, I guess. So that's going to be interesting to see how he can get compensation for that. I'd also be interested to see if this actually goes anywhere, or Penn State doesn't just settle it out of court and be done with it. Because
it's not like James Franklin has a squeaky clean resume, because he was in the middle of some crap when he was still at Vanderbilt.
I mean, I think that the majority of coaches are really in the middle of some crap. I think that player traditions and things like that are things coaches don't want to get involved in to begin with. Like, they just don't want to deal with it. Obviously, you don't think somebody's going to sue, but like with all hazing scenarios, there's always going to be somebody who decides that that's what they want to do. And I don't have any real opinion on what should or shouldn't have been happening. But by the same token, like, there's always that.
Oh, snap. Breaking news. Nick Saban was retiring. Just kidding.
I was going to say, what the hell? Like, I'm watching ESPN. I'm watching Kansas, Oklahoma right now. I haven't seen that one. I feel like they stopped the whole game.
On that note, enjoy the lead up to the Super Bowl.
We'll be back the weekend of the week after the Pro Bowl, before the game, with our predictions of who we think will win the big game.
And that's it. Florida State is a basketball school. Holler back.